We did have a time of fasting and prayer for three weeks that ended last Sunday. And so I want to go from that today, and I want to talk about where we go from a time of an encounter with God. So I'm going to talk about walking. Anybody know how to walk? Anybody ever had a problem with walking? And Casey's been going through that. My heart just goes out to her. You know, she's got that walker and stuff. And, man, I had a thing with my hip a couple of years ago. It's like I started really admiring people that were walking effortlessly. I thought, well, that's just so wonderful. Because you don't realize how much it takes away from you when you can't or when it's painful or something, right? Because we as humans are designed to walk, aren't we? And our health is connected to our walking. Not just our physical health, our mental health. There's so much that happens. And I found out that, you know, when you start to get a little gray on your hair, or on your head, because I like to run. I like to, and they say, you know what, I think it's just better for you if you just walk. So I've tried to figure out how that I can make that happen, you know. I'll put it on, I'll elevate it, you know, and try to go as fast as I can and still walk, you know. Because it's amazing. As soon as you break into a trot, man, it's a lot harder, and it's harder on your body. But somehow, when you walk, and this is something I found out with, you know, I had an issue with my heart. My sister had the same kind of thing. I found out they say your calves, when you walk, they call it your second heart. Yeah, because what it's doing is it's circulating that blood back. Is that the lower extremities, right? These guys can help me. Orlando, man, he can give. I thought about this when I was getting ready to share this. I thought, man, he could really make this happen. But there's something critical for your health and your progress in life that requires walking. And, you know, your heart goes out to people that can't or whatever else. But the walking physically is a representation of some other walking that takes place that needs movement for health and for provision of what we have been given in life. And so I want to touch on this because every time we go through a time of fasting like this, the purpose of it is to remove fleshly sensors. Because we have all kinds of senses. We have all these senses, right? And the senses are continually affecting our walk in the Spirit. And what we do when we fast is we take away some of that so that our sensors can come alive to a different influence. So, this whole period of fasting for us this time, I wanted to focus on resting. And for resting from these other senses that are influencing us, and to become honed in on the presence of Jesus and to be affected in that. Amen? And saying no to your body a little bit allows you to say yes to another influence. And how critical this has been. So I believe, and I say this over us, we've been affected this way. Amen? But I see, I believe this is a God thing, that an encounter with Jesus is meaningless unless you take a walk with him afterwards. Amen? Because you're not just going to get everything you need in a moment. Our experience with God and in the presence of the Lord is not meant to be an event. It's meant to be a life and a walk. Okay, so I'm going to draw some things out that have to do with this, and I believe it's going to be good. And we're going to have some breakfast after this, so I shouldn't have even said that, but I did. Because we're going to be partaking of some fellowship together also. But I want to touch on this because I believe there's a real opportunity coming from a time of an encounter. How many have encountered Jesus in a special way? You know, my dad was a pastor, you know, and it's like It's amazing how we had amazing encounters in the presence of the Lord, where you're just overwhelmed by His presence and everything else, and how with every passing year there doesn't have to be a diminishing of that, how great that is. And even in this time this year, man, I've seen some things about me, about my place in Him. Because you set your face on Him, and you're going to be changed every time. There's always change, isn't there? There's a place to go in His presence. It's great. But He says, I want you to follow me. Not just experience me. I want you to follow me. An encounter with Jesus was followed by an invitation to follow and walk with Him. Did you notice that about Jesus? When you had an encounter with Jesus, He always said, okay, now follow me. Is that right? And especially back in those days, they didn't have Ubers or anything like that. So following Jesus was going for a walk. Is that right? Okay, I just got a few examples of this. But remember, He encountered Peter, Andrew, James, and John in Matthew 4. And they were all fishermen, right? They were all busy fishing. And He walks by. You know, that's the only difficulty. It's like, it's as much as we have in the Bible, there's a whole bunch that we don't get the details of. But I'm thinking, this wasn't just some random guy coming by saying, hey, follow me. There was something about him. Amen? They knew who this guy was. They had experienced him. And now, something about him speaking to them and saying, come follow me. This was their vocation. They probably had some deliveries to make, some fish deliveries to make or something. You know, they were fishermen. And he's saying, don't just come and hang out with me. He says, come and follow me. Walk with me. It wasn't enough to just have an experience. It wasn't just to say, oh, hi, Jesus. Having a good day? Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're really awesome. Yeah. No, he says, for you to really get what I've got, you're going to need to follow me. Is that right? Yeah. And what did they do? They didn't wait at all, did they? It says they left their stuff. Left their boats, left their nets. They weren't responsible at all. They weren't responsible fishermen. You would have thought they would have just said, hold on, you know, give me a half an hour. You know, I got to put my stuff away or something. No, they left. So there's something we see right away is to walk with him, you're going to have to leave something. Is that right? Now, the second bunch here, James and John, they were actually with their dad, right? They left all their stuff with their dad. It says, oh, here we go again. But not only were they leaving their stuff, they were leaving their dad. Is that right? And immediately they were going. This other guy, Matthew was a tax collector. Nobody liked him anyway. I'm just kidding. Oh, we probably have a tax collector. but this was his job too. And what does he do? He didn't make a few calculations. He doesn't do. He says, "I'm going." There's something about an encounter with Jesus. It can be a moment. Amen. But what is required right away with an encounter with Jesus? He doesn't ever just say, "I hope you like that." He always gives you an invitation to not only like that, but to walk in it. Yeah. Amen? Matthew 19. Here's the inverse of that. So what did this rich young ruler have going on? Everything. He was cool. He had a whole following. Everybody liked this rich young ruler, right? In fact, he thought, here's another opportunity to add to my resume. I'm going to use Jesus to help me get further along. And what did Jesus tell him? He said, well, you're going to have to let go of all that stuff. And then what you're going to have to do? Go for a walk with me. Amen? Oh, there's something that right off the bat has to be realized with an encounter of Jesus. That he is not just an inclusion with everything else that we're doing. He's not a supplement. He's a replacement. Amen? And what did he do? He said, I can't do that. And so Jesus got a whole sermon on, you know, if you're married, if you love your stuff, he said, you can't even get into heaven. You can't make it if you're loving your stuff. Is that right? Because to walk with him, everything else has to be left as an influence over you. Now, here's the really cool thing about it. He says, you get me, you seek my kingdom, and all that stuff won't be something you're chasing. It'll be something that's chasing you. Amen? So he's not trying to hurt us in any way. He's trying to get us free. The problem is, if stuff has your heart, it can take your heart with it, right? But man, if he is your focus, if you're walking with him, there's nothing that can defeat you. Take all that stuff. I'm not afraid of that. Amen? All right. An encounter isn't enough. Transformation takes place when? In the walk. Oh, here's an interesting example. Remember what Jesus did some amazing things, didn't he? And he drew crowds when he did, right? Man, he's casting out demons and he's healing everybody. And man, I want to go see that. I want to experience that. I'll just tap on this. We can do this in our world today too, because there are some very impressive, charismatic people that it's an experience to go to visit and be ministered to them by them, right? But an encounter, even feeling the presence of the Holy Spirit is not going to be enough. Man, I traveled with Brother Hagin back in the 70s. Man, they have these big long lines, and he had, you know, touch everybody, and everybody falls out, you know, and everybody's not walking though when they get up. They came for an experience. And that's what happened with Jesus all the time. Man, he feeds thousands, right? One of the biggest, most famous. You know, he takes a few bread and a couple fish and he feeds thousands. Wouldn't that be cool? Would that change your life? Not really. It's a good show. When do you get changed by Jesus? It's when you walk with him. Amen? So when you leave some other stuff, because stuff is still impressing you in the world. It's still influencing you in the world. It's when you leave some things. That's why fasting and prayer are so incredible, because you're leaving some things. Amen? But you don't leave a time of fasting and prayer. You use it to take you on a walk. Amen? And I know I'm talking to the walkers here today. I grew up in Castle Rock, Colorado, and my older sisters and I, you know, it was before all this stuff, all the technology and stuff. We didn't have a TV till I was 16. You know, it's like, it wasn't because we couldn't have a TV; we didn't have a TV. But I remember there was this guy in Castle Rock that would walk, and man, he walked fast, and my sisters called him the fast walker. We didn't know his name or anything else. We just called him the fast walker. I don't know why I said that, but it reminded me of him. Because there's some people that don't have time for a walk. They don't have the energy for the walk. Oh, I'll not get ahead of myself too much here. But what happened to all that thousands of people that had an encounter with Jesus? They had not just observed him, they had partaken of of his miracle. Isn't that amazing? Wouldn't that be fun? It's like, hey, let's go eat a meal that Jesus does a miracle for. Wouldn't that be cool? But what's happened is right after that, he started doing like we were talking about in communion today. He said, you're not going to be able to just have an encounter with me. You're going to have to partake of me. And this sounded like blasphemy to people. And it wasn't listed on the program. Oh, we're going to have to partake of him? No, the program was a bunch of cool miracles and stuff, right? Not actually walking with him. Not actually partaking of him. Because up to that point, they thought they were on a walk with Jesus. Actually, they were just a walk to a show. What is our relationship with God? Is it just a walk to a show? Or is it a walk with him? Amen? Because John 6:66, an encounter is enough. Transformation takes place in the walk. From that time, and this is that time, was when Jesus said that. He said, you're going to have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. There's more to being a follower of Christ than just posting some stuff or wearing a placard. Or there's going to be some things that mess with our what we're comfortable with and go right to the core of who we are. Amen? So this is what this is. So Jesus said to the 12. And this is the thing about, this is so precious. He had handpicked 12 guys, and he was ready to lose them all in the revelation of the necessity for a walk with him. He said, it doesn't matter how long you've been with me already. It doesn't matter how much we've sat and chatted and how many sermons you've heard me say. What are you going to do now? Right. Amen? Yeah. Well, then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? Do you want to stop walking with me now? But Simon Peter did what? Aren't you glad for Simon Peter? He piped up and said some of the silliest stuff, but then sometimes he just had the greatest revelation too, right? Yeah, he tried to rebuke Jesus and tell him he couldn't go to the cross, and it's like, well, get thee behind me, Satan. But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? There's this relationship with Jesus that says, how can I walk with anything else? You tell me I can't walk with you? No, I don't have anywhere else to walk. This needs to be the heart of anybody that's going to walk with him. Amen? I don't have anything else. It's not like Nacho Libre, you know? Do you believe in science? No? Right? We're not going to walk in anything else. We don't have anywhere else to go. Amen? As long as there's somewhere else to go, you're going to let go. Is that right? To walk with him, there can't be another place. He says, you have the words of eternal life. It's your words that guide my life. Amen? And he said, this is for the sake of Alex. He said, you can't just live on a prayer. You have to live on a walk. I'm just, okay. All right. I got something in there anyway. Alex is trying to get me to do a version of living on a prayer. Bon Jovi, right? It's like, well, I'll just do that anyway, right? Because it's not just about being religious. It's about walking, isn't it? Amen? So you can't live on a prayer. You got to live on a walk. Okay. So our requirement from God to walk humbly, every step influenced by him. So this isn't just an option for us, is it? It's a requirement. I just want to please God in all my nice thoughts and all my things that I write and all those. He says, no, what's required of you is a walk. And a walk is going to have humility with it. That means it's going to be his way. How many have gone on a walk with somebody that you didn't want to go the way they were going? Now, I used to go hiking with my sisters, and it's like, I don't think I like the way they're going. I think I'm going to go this way. you know? And when you go to walk with God, you're going to have to say, you know, I might not like that, but I'm going to go that way. Is that right? What is it? That's humility. Saying what I can determine myself is going to come way below what he's saying. I'm going to go the way he says. Amen? So Micah 6:8, what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to do what? Walk humbly with your God. So, we just looked at Jesus' experience, and he says, it's not about just the event. It's about the walking. Come follow me, right? And if you can't do that, you're going to have to turn away and not walk with me at all. But we go back to the Old Testament. He says, this is actually a requirement. It's to act like I act and to make that your walk. You're walking humbly. This is the way I do things. This is the way you cannot help but do things because you don't have any other way, right? Going in line with Peter. Okay, let me just go real practically. Are y'all good? Man, I just got a few things more here. So what is the deal with the walk? With every step, and I'm just going to go through some things right quick. And you said, yeah, sure. Okay. Respond. So why do you go for a walk at all? You're motivated by something, aren't you? Yep. You want to get to the refrigerator, you know. You want to get to the bathroom, whatever. There's a motivation there. You need to get somewhere. Sometimes you just want to get up and get some energy released, right? Especially if you've been eating right. Walking needs some nourishment, doesn't it? Okay. Aware of health habits. Man, you know, it's great to go for a walk outside, but mindless people will get on a treadmill and go nowhere for a half an hour. Right? I do that. Okay. Activation of infinite sensors for appropriate movements. Man, I was thinking about this. What it actually takes, and I got some chat involved, you know, some AI stuff to help me with this, because there's, and just say thank you that I didn't want to give you all of that, because, I mean, I didn't understand half of that stuff. But anyway, but for there to be a walk taking place, you have to be motivated to go on it, but then there's all kinds of visual, there's all kinds of sensors that are affecting how you're going to walk, isn't there? Even right now, as I'm standing, and I tried to get some kind of input on how many calculations, and it said that's impossible because it's just a continuous calculation. It's a continual response to input it's been given. It's really hard to go for a walk in the dark because you need to see. And what your eyes are doing, they're telling you where you want to go. They're telling you how fast to go. There's all kinds of things that are affecting your vision, your balance, your inner ear is deciding. This is something that they started asking me when I got to be 60 or so. Have you fallen lately? Right? It's like, I didn't know that was a thing, you know. I have, but it was like when I was on a fast or something, you know, I got up too fast, you know. Why? Because to walk, you got to, something's going on in here that's telling your toes how to curl and how to balance you into, right? I mean, there's all kinds of, quit making fun of me, all right. Because this little balance up here, this little level, is telling your nerves, your spine is being affected by it. It has to adjust. Your head. Everything's being affected by your sensors. And it's a continual thing. If you follow me on this, there's correlations here, okay? There's blood flow that's taking place when you go for a walk, isn't there? Why? Because when you go for a walk, it's requiring energy, and there needs to be oxygen that's getting there to make. But it's not just biology, it's not just physiology. It's actually your psychology has been affected too. Is that right? Awakening of benefits to the body, mind, and spirit. Your heart needs exercise, needs movement. And walking gets your heartbeat up. Your circulation, it's like I said, your calf is the second heart. Your joint movement and lubrication. Did you know a lot of people aging is not the problem? It's the lack of walking. It's a lack of movement because we're made to move, right? Just like a car. If you let it sit for too long, you never lube it up. You never give it any oil or anything. It's not going to work. Need to take it for a drive once in a while. Calming. How many know the calming effect of a walk? This circulation, it's taking your mind off of those other things. It's having to actually be affected by these other sensors that are taking it away from the musings of defeat and oppression. And it can actually give you an enhanced focus, the ability to focus and think. Is that right? It reflects the meditation of the heart. You can tell how somebody, this is why I kind of have a problem with sometimes with some of the Jesus movies, is they're just going like this and having all these deep conversations. I'm thinking, they were going to Bethlehem. I don't think they were taking their time. I think they were in a hurry. I think they knew how to stretch out and take long strides. It reflects the attitude of the heart. I was working at the first church I was a pastor at, worship pastor at. You know, I was working in the office there, and I was just kind of slowly walking up these steps, and this guy, we had contractors in our church, you know, and it was out in California, and this, I remember this, it just sticks in my craw every time I think of it. He said, "Man, that guy's walking like he's got a lot of time on his hands." because he was the type that, you know, we're going to get something done. The reason for walking is to get stuff done. And that affects, doesn't it? Affects the attitude of the heart. Is that right? It's a part of a greater purpose requiring steady and consistent progress. Here's what's really cool about walking, is you can do it and not even think about it. Is that right? That doesn't mean nothing's going on. There's all kinds of stuff going on. But you've gotten to the place you've done it so much that you don't even think about some of it. Millions of calculations are going on and responses and muscular and nervous. There's so much happening. But it doesn't happen until you decide to walk. It's always there ready to go. And my ring has been telling me this a lot lately. Don't you think it's time to move? My wife got that for me because she wishes I would move a lot more, take the trash out and stuff. Okay, I'm just kidding. All right. So with every encounter with Jesus, where sensitivity to the influence of the world is replaced by an awareness of him, comes an invitation to walk with him. So this is what I'm seeing coming out of this fasting time. We are being invited by the one we've encountered, amen, to live a life of desensitization to the world and magnified sensor input from him, amen? Yeah. So just like our physical walk, to walk with him is not just going to be a meandering thing. There's going to be continual input from him, amen? If this happens in the natural, in the spiritual, it happens the same way. To walk with him is going to be have a continual input of where we're going. Motivation for where we're going. Amen? Okay, Ephesians 2, 1. Made alive from a walk dominated by death and sin. Aren't you glad? And you he made alive who are dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked. Until we get into Christ, we're walking, we're going somewhere, but it's death, isn't it? Its destination is death. Once you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. So I wanted to show that, you know what? This walk that he's calling us to is from something else. Sometimes we don't really consider, we're just living. No, you're not. If you're not walking with him, it's a walk of darkness. And he describes it so clearly, right? Says you're walking according to the sensory inputs of the world. We're not conformed to this world. We're transformed. How? By the renewing of the senses in us. That change any and make it to where I don't have anywhere else to get senses. All my input for my walking in my life is coming from one place. Amen? Yes. All right. Raised to walk in new life. Romans 6:4. Therefore, he said, we came out of that dark place, right? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. So that needed to be taken care of. That thing needed to be put to death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should what? Walk. Man, this whole purpose is walking, isn't it? What does that mean? That means that we're not just sitting around. He gives us a place to go. And now we have our vision is affecting everything. And we'll see you in a minute. It's really hard to see unless there's some light. Is that right? The walk from an encounter with him is a walk in what? Light. Is that right? Full of fellowship and free from sin. You know what? You can just walk however you want to if you're doing what? Walking all by yourself. Is that right? You know what? You can take the wrong path. You can live in the world, can't you? And you don't really see any direct ramifications right off the bat. It's a pathway. It's taking you somewhere. But you have no accountability. There's nobody around you to let you know. Is that right? It says, but you, when you walk, let me read it. Okay. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So it doesn't do any good to say, yeah, I've been, me and the guy upstairs, we're just so tight. Man, I hate that term. You just might as well say you don't know him because he's upstairs, you know. I know him because he's right here sitting with me, you know. Anyway, but if we say we have fellowship and we walk in darkness, that means our walk, that doesn't have to be something really vile and you don't have to be murdering people or, you know. What it is, it's an attitude of darkness, and what we'll see here, where nobody in your life matters except you. Is that right? Everything about sin is me. I want to do this, you know, in the garden. What was the problem? I want to be brainy. I want to be like God. I want to. They weren't even considering each other, were they? What was going to happen to their mate as a result of this? Why? And what was that? That was darkness. It was a perception that God was not there. Is that right? They weren't walking. You know what they were supposed to be doing is walking in the garden that he made for them to walk in. Is that right? And what were they doing? They thought they were walking their own way. Going to get their own revelation. Going to find their own thing, right? But what happens when you walk? But if you walk in the light as he is in the light, what does it do? It makes everything clear the way it really is. When you're walking in darkness, all you can see is your reflection in this tiny little, it's like when I climbed Kilimanjaro, they put a light on your head the last ascent, and you start at 12 o'clock at night and you climb for 6 hours straight in black darkness, that all you can see is this little spot in front of you, and it got depressing. And it was always up, up, up. It was always, you know. But man, when the light comes in, everything's beautiful. You see, and you're inspired, right? It says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, what happens? You realize that your life finds its meaning not just in what you indulge in, but what you enable other people to experience. Amen? Aren't you glad Jesus did this? That he came to make it so that we could live, not just to ourselves, but he showed us love. And what happens in love? It changes every step you take. It's the sensor that puts you in line with something that's much more productive. So much more rewarding. Amen? And what it does is it gives you no reason to walk in darkness anymore. When you're walking in that light, amen? And people that you just couldn't stand because you're dirty inside yourself, amen? You begin to become accountable to them. Now, how I walk is going to affect somebody else. I'm not going to make sure somebody gets kicked out of the garden because I want to get my own revelation. You know? I just want to live however I want to live. No, how I live, how I walk, every move I walk. Now, and here's the thing about a body. When it goes for a walk, its organs are being affected by it. They're moving. It's actually giving it health. Every part of your being is being affected by your walk. Is that right? When we come into the body of Christ, we start to walk in the light as he is in the light, and we become a part of a body that every step that each one of us is taking is affecting the other parts. Amen? And he says, I have a purpose for you, but you require this other person for you to fulfill your purpose. And it's not about any one of you individually. It's about something bigger than that. Amen? That you're going to have to let go of some things to go for a walk on me, with me, and find out that there's light before you. You can see exactly where to go. Here's the problem with people in darkness. They can't see where they're going. So they don't even know how bad it is. Is that right? But when you begin to walk in him, you have an encounter with him. He says, I want to take you for a walk in the light. Amen? And what you're going to find out is that you never thought you liked people, but you walk in light with him, and you find out that, man, he likes me. I think I'm going to like some other people. Amen? Because you have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Isn't that interesting? I thought his blood already cleansed us from all that. The provision has been made, but the partaking of it happens in what? A walk. Is that right? Oh, there's so much freedom. You know, people say, just pray for me that I'll be delivered from this terrible thing. And Jesus is saying, just go for a walk with me. Amen? Because what you're gonna have to let go of some things. But when you start walking with him, he's gonna have some things for you to do. Amen? Have to humble yourself and go that way. As love motivated Jesus walked to lay down his life for others, so will ours. Ephesians 5:1. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. What's the biggest imitation we can have of him? To love. Is that right? And walk in love. As Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. The walk of innocence absolved of all guilt. Here's another thing about this walk in him. Helps us to fellowship, helps us to be pure. And then what does it do? It removes all guilt. You know, one of the biggest weights we carry is guilt. That's why we have a hard time having fellowship with somebody else, is because when you're skeptical about yourself, it's really easy to be skeptical about others. Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Braden, want to say the rest of it? Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. This is his memory verse right now. Okay. Aren't you glad for that? But who doesn't have the condemnation? Somebody that just found revelation of it in a sermon they heard? No, somebody that's doing what? Going for a walk. Is that right? This walk is necessary, isn't it? The necessity of the in-between. Man, Bo Nix had this video on one of the ESPN or something, and it was called In Between. And it was talking about what he does in between seasons, you know. And I thought about what this with regard to this. In this verse it says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If you think, if you're really good at going to church on Sundays, if you're really good at being what you need to be in season, he said, it's not enough to just do that. You got to be Bo Nix. It's what's happening in between. And that's what the walk is. Anybody can go to a church service and raise their hands and all this, right? The important stuff is the in-between. Amen? If we like being spiritual, if we like being full gospel or whatever else, oh, that's not enough. It's the walk. Amen? Oh, this is good. All right. This is it. Effective coming to him is powerfully verified and demonstrated grace and freedom. So I just want to say this over us. This is who we are. We're folks that are going for a walk together. Amen? And what it's going to do is it's going to ignite the power of God in our life also. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. It frees us from bondage to sin, helps us to fellowship with each other, gets us free from condemnation. But what does it do? Are you tired, worn out, burn out on religion? My wife is quoting this in the pre-service prayer today. Come to me. This is what we've done. Amen? Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. And what does he say then? He doesn't say just have a rest. Purpose for a rest in him is to walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. That doesn't mean you're just going to be a flaky weirdo. That means what you're doing is yoked up with him, and it's easy, and it's light, and you're doing it effortlessly because you've been living in him. It's a walk.